Dear friends, this is Tuesday of Holy Week. You know that? I don't have to tell you that. By a strange coincidence, the text which was just read to you was spoken by Jesus on Tuesday morning of Holy Week. And so it is a very appropriate text for us today. Someone has said that the Gospel of John is shallow enough for a child to wade in and deep enough for an elephant to drown. And that is correct. Years ago, I used to teach the Gospel of John, and it was my lot usually to get those first-year students who were trying to avoid grammar. They would take the Gospel of John as their first exegetical course, and usually about 3 weeks into the course, they would come to me and say, "I wish I had taken Luke." Because when you really look at the text of the Gospel of John, I don't mean a superficial reading, but a careful reading, you sometimes run into some great difficulties that will tax you to the utmost. Now, verse 32 of the scripture, which was just read to you, that's John 12, verse 32, reads as follows. "But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." This is one of those texts that's been a crux, a cross to preachers. Precisely what is Jesus talking about? And when you get into the ministry, you will find texts too that are pretty difficult. You may think now that you can handle them all, but look out for the ones that seem so shallow that you can wade in them, because they may be deep enough for an elephant to drown in. Now, most commentators are tempted, or do, apply this text to conversion. "But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." And on the first reading, that's what it sounds like. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. And this is where your tools, and I'm using this as an object lesson, because you have to be careful about your preaching. It is not good enough for you to be a good fella who's smart and dresses well and all that sort of thing. You really have to look at the text and tell the people what that text in its context is talking about. And of course, you know that a theologian must be a grammarian, not in the American sense, but in the ancient sense. Grammar meant the study of a text in its greater context, and of course what it says in its own right. Now, Jesus says, and I read the text again, "But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." Our lector just used the RSV, which always also translates this way, "when I am lifted up." Perhaps you are used to the King James, which says, "but I, if I am lifted up." Likewise, the New King James and the NASB. But number one, the word "if" in Greek is not quite the same as the word "if" in English. "If" in English always denotes some kind of uncertainty, and that's not what's meant here. Five of our translations translate correctly with the word "when." There's no doubt in Jesus' mind whether or not he is going to be lifted up. He knows that. The only thing he's not telling them is when it is going to be, though at this time it was only about 4 days hence. That is correct. "When I am lifted up," and we know what it means because St. John tells us in the next verse, by this he was signifying the kind of death that he was to die, and we know that this means crucifixion. Now, the hard part of the text is the main clause, "I will draw all men to myself." Now, many commentators, the majority of them, apply this to conversion. They say, oh yeah, because of the crucifixion of Jesus, people are converted. But Jesus says, "I will draw all men to myself." Now, if this applies to conversion, then all people have to be converted. All means all. I remember when I was on the mission field, one of the best teachers I ever knew in Nigeria came to me one day and he said, the Lutheran Church has brought me the gospel and the certainty of salvation. What about my grandfather? What about my grandfather who never heard about it? Where is he? Well, I told him, I'm not the judge of the living and the dead. But the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. And he said, well, do you mean my grandfather is in hell? I said, leave that to God. Just be thankful for what you have heard. The point I was making is that just because Christ died for all doesn't mean that all will be converted, does it? Secondly, to use a simple analogy for this conditional sentence in English, if you'd say, when I see you, I will tell you. Now, the main clause is, I will tell you. Does that mean a time later than when you come to see the person? Never. People never speak that way. When I see you, I'll tell you. Means the same time as when you see the person. And likewise in Greek. I mean, it's just good common sense. The text would have to make clear if the main clause would be a time later than the subordinate clause. And so we are faced with only one possibility, that when Jesus said, I, when I am lifted up, will draw all men to myself. Luther refers, according to the index in the American edition, Luther refers to this text about 9 times. There may be others that are not listed, but I checked all of those. And he says in one reference, very beautifully, this text tells us that God leaves nothing for us to do. Isn't that beautiful? God leaves nothing for us to do. In another place, he says, with reference to this text, as though he were to say that through his death, he would conquer all, namely the devil, sin, and death, that he would present and give to us all righteousness, wisdom, power, and every good, that he would become Lord over all and tread every evil on earth underfoot, and that the Holy Spirit would not be given until he, in his body, had overcome all and had gained the victory. Precisely. In the year when I was graduated from the SEM, 1945, that's a long time ago, that was the spring before the end of World War II. It was the spring when President Roosevelt died. He had become such a fixture in the United States that when he died, the whole nation was shocked. And I remember it was the spring in which 12 men from my class were called into foreign work. That's more than ever had been called from one class before or since then. But anyway, a classmate of mine and I were approached about going into foreign field, and this disturbed us. We didn't know whether we were up to it or not. And we went out for a walk one day, and we were troubled. And when we went back to our respective study rooms, he called me. He was reading Walter's Law and Gospel. And I shall never forget what he told me, and which is found on one page in Walter's Law and Gospel. He says, you know how much we have to do? I said, what? He said, nothing. I mean, he said, there is nothing for us to do. Walter makes that observation. When we become troubled in our souls, over our life, we should just remember that there is nothing that needs to be done. It's all been done. In our dying hour, we should be told, there's nothing for you to do because it's all been done. I, when I am lifted up, he said, shall draw all men to myself. That is incomprehensible. It's as incomprehensible as what St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. The warfare came to an end when he was on the cross. Now, it doesn't look like it, does it? It doesn't look like Christ drew all men to himself. Just think of what happened there on Calvary that day. People cursed and swore and made fun of him, and probably there are other things that we are not told that are just too awful and too obscene. And only one, a dying thief, was brought to faith in that hour. And of course, there were John and Mary. They weren't converted then, but it surely didn't look as if all men were drawn to himself. But things rarely are what they appear to be. And so we leave this morning with this thought: how much must I do to reconcile myself to God? Absolutely nothing. It's been done. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life eternal. Amen.